stars are somewhere up there. Where they go to hide. And I wish that I could fly.
That's Prince Edward Island's Ashley Condon with Diamond Sky from her new album, Can You Hear Me? And what might be her most thoroughly Prince Edward Island album to date, Can You Hear Me? Features a series of co-writes with other Prince Edward Island artists and artists who came to PEI on creative exchanges. The album also features some beautiful harmony vocals from Ashley's fellow Eastern Belles, Catherine McClellan and Megan Blanchard, and a lovely sonic palette. And Ashley Condon is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Ashley?
I'm doing awesome, Jan. It's great to be here.
It's great to be able to talk to you. Now, I think Can You Hear Me is your third long playing release, so I think you had an EP as well. Is that right?
I did, yeah. I actually had an EP that I recorded in Guelph a long time ago.
That's right. I remember the Guelph days because we used to play pickup soccer together way back.
Yeah,
with
that's
Sam
right.
Turton. So yeah, no, they were fun days. But you're now well and truly back home on Prince Edward Island.
Yeah, I made my way back and I'm not going anywhere.
So tell us a little bit about making this album. I mean, was this a statement that, you know, this is where I am, this is my home, and I'm going to bring my home more to you? Is that kind of what you're trying to achieve here?
I think there was an element of that to this record. I definitely, like, I took a long time to decide how I wanted to do it. It's slow and steady, but I'm usually fairly thorough with the decisions I make, and I really wanted to work with a local producer, a producer from the Maritimes, and it felt important to me to also record the record in the Maritimes with all the different Ireland artists that ended up on the record. You know, you can say that it was an accident, but I think synchronicity definitely played a factor in this record. This record is essentially about 80% co-written, whereas my last record was about 80% written on my own. So I think that it was really exciting because it was me taking a new interpretation on the songs, whereas if the other co-writer had sang the song, they might have done it a little differently. So it was really fun to take these songs and make them my own in a way and to just, to make it in the Maritimes and feel a sense of home in what I'm doing. And I just think in the last couple of years I've really been settling into my life here and in PEI and kind of becoming a bit more domesticated as I'm into my 30s. And I think that this record is definitely a representation of this time in my life for sure.
Well, the last album was this great compromise, which came out in 2013, which was very well received. And that time, that was probably not long after you joined David Francie, who I know has been a bit of a mentor with you. You have the same management team and the same support.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you find with this album, with, you know, deciding to do the co-writes with other people like Catherine McClellan, was the desire there to try and really bring home this feeling of community coming out through your music?
I've actually been back at PEI now for probably close to 7 years.
Oh, wow, that long.
Yeah, but I kind of took I came via Halifax and met my husband there, and then him and I moved here. But, I definitely, you know, like when I started to work with David, which was a really huge, huge opportunity for me, I remember getting that call that he wanted to produce my record, and I was just beyond thrilled. And that journey has been so amazing with him, and of course I've done lots of co-writing with David and his team and his community, which are all still like my musical family. And you know, all the musicians that he plays with, Chris Cool and Darren McMullen and Mark Westberg, and of course my manager Mark Watson, those guys are all a huge part of my musical community. And yeah, I guess I was kind of moving that back east in a way. And the funny thing is I'd run into all these Ireland artists all over the world. Like Catherine and I specifically remember when we were in Kansas City for Folk Alliance, we only see each other at these like conferences like halfway across North America. And we get home and we kind of like, you know, nuzzled into our little houses in different parts of PEI, and we would never see each other. And then finally her and I just said, you know what, let's do this. So we started a songwriters group here on PEI. And, you know, when I look back at it and I think about the connection to David, I think that working with David and working with his team really helped me build my confidence as a songwriter. And I remember when I came home from working with David, we were doing some pre-production work at his place. And I came home and we were also doing some co-writing. And I came home and Ken said, you know, how was that experience for you and what did you take away from it? And I said, I really feel like I'm a songwriter. And so I think I took that confidence back here. And so when Catherine said, let's get together on PEI, I said, you know, let's build this songwriting community here and let's start this songwriting group. We invited other Ireland songwriters to come in, and it was just really amazing. And all these songs from this record came out of, you know, seeds that were planted during those songwriting nights. So I think it was I think coming back to PEI and with the Ireland artists was sort of an evolution of my confidence as a songwriter, and which I still am building and still am really excited about doing moving forward for sure.
So tell us about Diamond Sky. That was the first track we played, which was one of the songs that you mentioned came out of the songwriting group. Tell us about that one.
It's true. Yeah, that was one of the first ones actually that came out of that group. And you know what, we'd break off into pairs every night and we just randomly pick people to, like, we'd draw straws basically. And we would, you know, head off into our own little rooms. We worked at a place called the Haviland Club in Charlottetown, this amazing like old historic building, and it has all these little nooks and crannies and rooms, and we would head off and we'd start writing. And Catherine were just chatting one night about lives as musicians and where it has taken us. And both of us had lived in big cities, Toronto specifically. Both of us had lived there at different points in our career, and had both shared the sentiment of, you know, really missing the East Coast and, you know, feeling like in some way you had to live in a big city to have a music career. But finding out that really, you know, to be a true artist, I think you have to be where your heart calls you to be. And I think, I know for me anyway, that's what I felt. And only made my way back home and where I feel like I'm thriving creatively since I've been here. And, you know, so that song was was sort of a representation of that feeling for both of us of, you know, I want to fly over that skyline to the East Coast, and the feeling of city and feeling kind of lonely, although you're around millions of people. So that seed started that night, and, you know, people have different styles with songwriting. I tend to sometimes get an idea and I'll take it away and I'll kind of run with it on my own. And then I showed her what I was doing with it, and she thought that was great, because you don't always have time to come back together and complete together, but you have time to sort of like collaborate over the phone and say, hey, do you like this? And so that's kind of how that song ended up being completed, is I took it back and I really felt strongly about that sentiment about moving back to the East, and felt like it had to be about flying over those big skylines. And so it evolved. And I remember I played it for Catherine when we were in a songwriter circle, and I played it and I said that her and I had written it together. And she's like, oh my goodness. She's like, I didn't know that we had written that together, because it had taken on a new form since where it had started. But we always joke it's the co-write that she doesn't know that she's getting.
One of the great things about this album is the sound. It has a lovely, warm sound to it. I know you worked with producer Dale Merry, who I didn't realize is actually Anne Merry's nephew. That was an interesting bit of trivia. I know him from his time in Cuff the Duke and then with the Guthries. Tell us a little bit about working with Dale.
Well, Dale, like I said, I was really thoughtful about the producer that I wanted to work with. And I actually had contacted quite a few people and have been listening to all kinds of stuff of, you know, producers all across Canada. You know, I wanted to work with someone here at home and in Canada. But, you know, I remember one day I happened to hear something that was produced by Dale, and my ears sort of perked up, and I went, oh yeah, oh, that's it. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. And I just kind of found it. And him and Christina were actually playing at the Trailside not long after that. So there was also this crazy synchronicity where he was on PEI, and I went to the show and I was sort of hanging out with him, and I asked him if he'd be interested in doing some producing, and he said absolutely. And so, and I had worked with Dale actually on my very first full-length record, Come In From the Cold, which was produced by Joel E. Hunt, who now tours with Old Man Ludica as his mandolin side player. And so Dale and I were kind of joking around about how it all comes full circle, because he played pedal steel on my very first album, and we had talked about getting together to play music, but then all of a sudden it seems to be the perfect time. And I just love Dale's, I love his sensibilities. I mean, he's an incredible musician, number one. So he plays probably like 80% of the instruments on the record. And also we sort of had similar taste in the kind of music we like. He likes the kind of folk country Americana sound. I mean, he likes all things rock and different stuff as well. But I think we both share that love of sort of the 1970s folk country era. And that's some of those sounds were what I wanted to bring into this record. Just kind of like a nice full sound, but still staying really true to the song and still keeping it a roots record, which was really important, because I think it's easy to kind of step over that line and take it to the next place. But he was very, you know, very sensitive around wanting to keep, you know, keep it a roots record. And I think that he's someone that can really, you know, sort of play on that line, no pun intended, between a rock record and a roots record, or a folk rock record. And so I think we found a nice balance with this album, and we really worked a lot together. I've never been so involved in the process of producing a record ever. And so I learned a lot of myself, which was really awesome. And we had a lot of laughs in the meantime as well.
Well, that's great. Let's play another song from the album. I'd like to play one of the most powerful tracks on the record, and that's The Rain. Tell us about that song.
Well, that song was written in Nashville, actually. It was my first trip to Nashville, and I was staying with a songwriter, actually, a fellow maritime songwriter named Riley Madison, and she's an incredible songwriter, and she's so kind. She opens her doors to other songwriters who want to come to Nashville. I guess kind of like an Airbnb, you could call it. And so I found her contact online, and I called her, and I said I'd love to come to Nashville, and I'm wondering if I could come stay in your place. So I stayed there for a week, and we decided we were going to do some writing when we got together. And this song ended up, coming out of a night of writing. And it was really interesting because both her and I had talked about, you know, the Maritimes and sort of our love for the East Coast. And you know, and my mom was a fisherwoman, and she worked with her hands, and so we started to think about, you know, all the Maritimers, well, all the Canadians that, you know, that do make a living from using their hands, and how they're sort of at the mercy of the elements when you work outside as a fisherman or as a farmer or, you know, various careers that kind of keep you at the mercy of the elements. So this, you know, this story started to emerge, this story about farmers and about, you know, generation after generation, and farming is such a huge part of, you know, of Prince Edward Island and, you know, of the East Coast and of Canada in total. And I just, we felt it was really important to tell this story. And it's really taken a journey, this song, as different people are hearing it and they're interpreting it as different things, you know. Like a friend of mine said, it really reminds her of healing, this song, and about how the rain is a healing force. I just recently released the video for The Rain, and I got a lovely message from somebody saying that, you know, it spoke to them in the way of, you know, that longing that we all have to have a legacy that's carried on. And, you know, this, you know, so the song sort of talks about the generation after generation, the farmers, and, you know, and I just thought it was interesting how everybody's kind of finding their own piece of their own story in it. Although it's a story about farmers, I think it's a story about us all in a way, and about, you know, like sowing our seeds and watching generation after generation, you know, grow and thrive. And, you know, we all hope that that's what can happen. So, yeah, it's actually been a really, really amazing song to sing. And I often sing it with three-part harmony, which is always really lovely.
Let's listen to that just now. This is Ashley Condon with The Rain from her great new album, Can You Hear Me? And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Standing in the fields of my father, staring off into a cloudless sky, the harvest all around is dry and choking, waiting for the rain. Your head up through the hardest times, while her worries and her troubles went unspoken, she was waiting for the rain to come down. It's a beautiful sound, as every drop like all the
That's Ashley Condon with The Rain from her new album, Can You Hear Me? Ashley's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the new album and talking about the musical community in Prince Edward Island. You know, one of the things I love about the island is the fact that it's an island and that there, people tend to develop ways of working together to be far more productive than you would actually expect from the number of people that actually live down there. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. People often say, like, how is there so many musicians when there's only 130,000 people that live on the entire island? And it's true. I mean, I think when you live here, you get creative with how you spend your time. And people do really play a lot of music here. And there are so many musicians that we don't even hear about that are like, they just play, you know, they play in their kitchens on Saturday nights and they play fiddle tunes and they play accordions and they step dance, and, you know, music is so ingrained in our culture. And, you know, I think that comes from being, you know, a lot of Irish and Scottish and French and English settlers live here. And, you know, we do thrive musically. And there happens to be, you know, a few of us that kind of make it into the rest of Canada and travel as musicians. But really, like, probably I would easily say 30% of the people that live in PEI play some kind of an instrument, or they sing, or they step dance. And I think that's really showcased in, you know, the music that comes out of here and the community that's grown here. And it's really, really gotten a lot. It's really grown in the last 10 years, especially, you know, like our local music association, Music PEI, has been really great. They've been really developing the industry here. And I think that that's the key is really the, you know, building that infrastructure. And that's something that's been expanding on PEI as well. And, you know, I think that the artists themselves, and I know I've felt this myself, have been becoming leaders in the community here as we're getting a bit older. And, you know, we're choosing to live here and we're choosing to have our careers here. We're, you know, starting songwriting groups and we're, you know, becoming curators of music and facilitators in other ways. And it felt important for me to do that because I've had so many people that have helped me along the way. I think I want to do the same for people and for other musicians and emerging artists. And, you know, and the fact that it's a small place, it's not like in bigger cities where you can have your little groups of musicians where you have like you got your folkies over here and you got your indie rock kids over here and you got your bluegrassers over there. We don't have the luxury of having, well, not that it's necessarily a luxury, but we don't have the opportunity to have little separate groups. We all come together. And I think that really informs the music that comes out of here, that there's a little bit of folk in all the music, you know, a little bit of indie rock. There's bluegrass, there's all of these sort of genres that meld together because we all play together. Like any given musician that's on PEI, I can think of one right now who plays with a rock band, he plays with a bluegrass band. So you can't really be too fussy about what genre you're in because you're going to be switching around every once in a while. So I think it really, really creates music that is unique and people seem to really enjoy a lot of the music that's coming out of here. And we've got some really world-class bands right now. And it's, you know, the trad aspect of what's coming out of PEI is really exciting with, like, the East Pointers and Ten Strings and a Goatskin and Vish 10. And, you know, these bands are really they're killing it all over the world. And that's the PEI tradition, and they're taking it to the rest of the world. And it's exciting to see it happening.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful place for a musical vacation. If you're deciding you want to go somewhere, definitely check out PEI. Not only is it very doable to visit it all, but there is just so much wonderful music there. So the new album is out. I wonder what happens now. What are you planning to do from the point of view of getting out there and showcasing the album?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, my management team and I, we're really taking a different approach with this album. One of the things that is important to me in my life and where I'm at right now is to be able to be around home a bit more. One of our goals is to really push the music out through radio. We're really excited about that because we've had a lot of great results with that in the last 3 weeks. You know, as opposed to doing the big tour with the record, which I would normally do, we're not doing that this time. And it feels weird. It feels like counterintuitive. But what it's doing is it's freeing me up to really spend time building my profile across the country, which is something that, you know, I started to do with my last record with This Great Compromise, and we're really building on that, spending a lot of time working on videos and content and just, you know, and also I've got my business here at home, which I know, the brewery, which I know that you mentioned you wanted to chat about. as well. And that's kind of keeping me home and keeping me, you know, into the community and nurturing something in the community. So the plan is really to keep writing and keep pushing this music out as much as we can with radio. And, you know, and come, you know, the new year, we'll look into doing some touring. I really want to get thoughtful about the way I do my touring these days. I got pretty burnt out by being out on the road and sort of, you know, I'm not going to say they were terrible gigs, but I've had my fair share of gigs that weren't the greatest and didn't pay a lot. And I just really value my time and how I spend it these days. So part of me wants to just wait until it feels like the right time to go out on tour again and spend some time really like building, you know, building my profile and building my fan base and working social media and doing lots of writing and collaborating. And I've got a million ideas of things that I want to do. I've also written a play, which I would love to put out at some point, a play about my mom as a fisherwoman here on PEI, which will include both my music and I guess some of my acting that I've done in the past. And so I've got a lot of other creative projects on the go, which is really exciting. I just need time to do them, basically. So
you're keeping very busy. So tell us about the brewery. The microbrewery is called Copper Bottom Brewing. It is in Montague. Now, I'm checking out the pictures online. This looks like a great space. And I'm curious as to how the microbrewery weaves into your plans as a musician.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I will make it as short as I can. My husband is a massive craft beer lover and has been since I met him 9 years ago. And he always said to me, I want to open a microbrewery. And I said, that's amazing. And I've been encouraging him and supporting him for the past little while. And, you know, and a couple years ago, you know, I said to him, honey, like I'm fully here to support you. And I felt like I was going to be like a cheerleader on the sidelines and he was going to be doing this brewery. And then as he started to work on the project and I started to get sort of indirectly involved / directly involved, as you do when you're the wife of somebody opening up a brewery, I started to see how this was a really incredible opportunity for us to work together. Because like I said, I was starting to feel more of a draw towards building something at home and being around home and starting a family. And this started to be the ticket for that for both of us, because not only could my husband fulfill his passion of opening a brewery, I could fulfill my passion of creating something artistic and something for me to develop in my community. And so all of a sudden I'm like 50-50 owner of this brewery with my husband, and I'm kind of like blinking my eyes. I'm like, how the heck did this happen? But it's been totally amazing. And, you know, like, it hasn't been an accident that I've gotten involved with this, because it's really, you know, really opened my eyes up to, you know, how to be an artist in a different way. And I think that I've always thought, you know, you have to be out, you have to be touring, you have to be away from home, you have to sacrifice so many things to be an artist. And I'm seeing this as an opportunity to, I mean, you always have to sacrifice, but I see this as an opportunity to not have to make as many sacrifices and, you know, to really build something exciting. And so for me, the music aspect of what we're doing is great. We have the brewery down in the lower part of the building. It's a 10-barrel brewery. And my husband is making incredible beer, which is really awesome. We've put out two beers already, a Centennial Stock Blonde and an American Pale Ale, a Broadside Pale Ale, and people are loving it. And then we started to do music upstairs, and we had our first concert with Dave Gunning a couple weeks ago, and it was sold out. Like, by far, we could have sold another 100 tickets to it. So it's just really exciting to see everyone's ready for this sort of thing. And I get to be, you know, I get to be picking the music and I get to be curating the music, and, you know, I'll play there as well. And I joke around that it's kind of like my own little, like, Rita's Tea Room in Cape Breton, where people go there and they sip tea and often get to meet Rita. They often got to meet Rita when she was around. And I call this my own sort of little tea room, but you get to sip a stronger kind of tea and you might get to meet me if I'm around. And
it sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It does, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're just brand new. We just opened last week.
So I did actually see. Yeah, it was just opened. But I was looking at the pictures. Look great. I certainly will be planning my own trip down to visit sometime in the next year. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. Now, if people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, my website, ashleycondon.com, brand new website. It's very cool. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's very interactive. And all of my music is up on Spotify if you want to have a listen. If you want to purchase the album, it's on iTunes. And I also do the old-fashioned hard copies in the mail. So if anyone wants that, you can go to my site and click on store, the Ashley Condon store, and I can send you a copy in the mail as well. And you can also pick up a copy of Copper Bottom Brewing. So it's a good reason to come on out and check out the brewery.
That's wonderful. We only have one thing left to do, and that's to pick the final song we're going to play. I thought it should be Oh My Love, because it's the closest thing to a title track on this album, mm-hmm. and it's got a lovely warm feel, and I think it makes you smile about, you know, some of the relationships in your own life. Tell us about this song.
Well, it's funny. This song really does represent that sort of collaborative spirit that I was talking about. I wrote this with the Small Glories, who I'm just huge fans of. And it was such a great opportunity to get together with JD and Kara and write this. And, you know, Kara had brought this song. She had written the chorus and I think a verse. And JD and I kind of went on the journey with her and we finished the song. And, you know, it ended up being a really kind of a universal song, you know. And it ties in perfectly with sort of where I'm at with my life and where I was at recording this record. You know, just longing to be at home and settle down and find that right person that you love, and you know, and so I was really excited to sing this song and also kind of put my own interpretation on it. And this is another one that the Small Glories did a version of it, and it's very different from the version that I did. I kind of put my own little spin on it, and they put their own spin on it. But yeah, it's just got a good feel to it, this song. And I got to record the video at Trailside Cafe, which is one of my very favorite places to play, and pretend that I actually was a traveling musician going to Trailside. But, you know, when I looked back at the video, I actually got a little bit teary because I felt like there were so many parts of that video that felt really real for me and, you know, about sort of just being an artist and trying to figure out how to do it and how to make it work and being out and traveling a lot and, you know, just really wanting to find a way to bring it all together and not to have to sacrifice and compromise too much away. And it's funny because my last record, This Great Compromise, was the title track. And so that's definitely a theme that's been through my life, is this sort of feeling of being pulled between the two places, home and the road. And so I think for me, that's what that song means. And I think to other people, it's going to mean something completely different. And I think good songs can do that, where you can have your own sort of your own spin on it. But it's got a good sing-alongable chorus, which I really like. And whenever you have three-year-olds singing along to a song, you know you're doing something right. So I appreciate that.
Well, it's a perfect way to finish. Ashley Condon, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. This is Ashley Condon with Oh My Love from her wonderful new album, Can You Hear Me? You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And thanks again, Ashley.
Thank you.